Appropriate song for this morning's text, because the people of Palestine, the Hebrew people, were sure that they had gone under. What draws me to this story indeed is that the word of God comes to a people who were dispirited because the Midianites, a nearby tribe, had mastered the military innovation of a cavalry mounted on camels. And they literally ran roughshod over the region and had conquered all of Palestine and were oppressing the Hebrews terribly. The situation seemed lost. The Midianites' reign seemed unbroken, impregnable. But the word of God comes to a young man and calls him to be an agent of liberation. A rather shy and reluctant young man by the name of Gideon. When God's call summoned him to leadership, Gideon's response says, "You must be kidding. I am the least important. I'm a part of the least important clan of Manasseh, and I'm the least important kid in the clan." But God said to Gideon, "I see potential in you that you do not see in yourself." How often it is that God sees capacities within us to which we are oblivious. God calls Gideon to leadership, and Gideon tries to say, "I am not leadership material. I'm not a superior person." And God's message to Gideon, and often to us, is that God doesn't always need superior people. God doesn't always need superior resources to bring to fruition God's intent. Gideon is reluctant. He is diffident. He has no confidence in his abilities, but he does believe that God can use him. And so he does what any commander would do. He sends out the call for troops. He sends out the word to all of the Israeli tribes, "I need your help to help defeat the Midianites." And to his amazement, 32,000 soldiers volunteer. Gideon thinks, 32,000, maybe not a lot, but that's, we can do something here. But that's when Gideon learns that God's ways are not our ways. God's values are not our values. The word of God comes to Gideon and says, I know your people, I know their hearts. If you defeat the Midianites with 32,000, they're going to think it was their victory, done by their strength, by their merit. No, this is not going to be your victory. It's going to be God's victory. You have too many resources. Get rid of some of your soldiers. Now, you and I share Gideon's confusion. We live in an age where we think we need overwhelming numbers. We think we need immense resources to accomplish anything great for God. But God is saying, if you're faithful, if you trust me, I can accomplish great things through you without overwhelming numbers or immense resources. So, Gideon, who really believes that Civil War general who once said that God's on the side of the most battalions, finds out that God is not on the side of the most battalions. He goes to his troops and says to them an anti-pep talk. "Gentlemen, the Midianites are the most well-organized, best-equipped, most vicious force in the region. We're a 4-touchdown underdog, according to the experts. The military analysts say they will wipe us out like wheat. But I don't want you to be afraid. If you don't have confidence that God can give us the victory over the Midianites, I want you to leave now. Under the influence of that anti-Newt Rockne speech, 22,000 of the 32,000 went back home. Gideon thought, well, 10,000, we can do something. But he learned once again, God's values are not our values. God's ways are not our ways. God said, Gideon, you still have too many people. I want you to live completely on trust. Take your 10,000 down to the river to drink and watch them. Those who bend down to the water and drink like a dog, send them home. I only want those soldiers who take their hand and cup the water to their mouth, using their hand like a cup. Gideon said, all right. He goes down, he watches all the soldiers drink, and out of 10,000, 300 men cup the water to their mouths. The rest he sends home. Now, I know many of you have heard sermons on this passage often. I know you've read commentaries about it, and I want to tell you everything you know about this passage is probably wrong. You see, the standard commentaries and preaching theme is by using God's test, he identified the 300 most alert and battle-tested soldiers. That runs completely foreign to the whole logic of this story. God has just recruited as his general the least member of the least clan of Manasseh. He ain't looking for the 300 best soldiers. He's looking for the 300 worst. The kids who use their hands like a cup are the mama's boys. They're the tenderfeet. They're the squeamish souls who don't want to get their mouth down in that icky water lest they drink a spider or a water bug or something. God's not trying to find the best soldiers. He's trying to find the worst. But they're faithful. They believe that God can use them. They believe that God can make them instruments of God's intent. And so Gideon selects them for service. He gives them a jar, a torch, and a trumpet, none of which is standard military issue. Now why? Because if they attacked the Midianites using conventional weapons of war, they would have been destroyed. If they had waged war the way they've always waged war, they would have been annihilated. No. God gives them a jar, a torch, and a trumpet, because these are God's weapons. One of the great challenges for the Christian church today is to realize you cannot win God's victories with the world's weapons. Even in Christian church, even among Christian leaders, we want power. We want resources. We want overwhelming numbers to accomplish our ambitions. But you can't win God's victories with the world's weapons. What are God's weapons? The fruits of the Spirit: hope, love, peace, joy, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. One of our problems in the Christian community is we have lost confidence in God's weapons. But in fact, God's tools: peace, hope, love, joy, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Those are the instruments with which we win God's victories. A jar, a trumpet, and a torch. By so doing, God is saying to the Hebrew soldiers, I want you to be creative. I want you to look at the situation with fresh eyes and rely not on the world's weapons, but on my own. The 300 men gather and circle the camp under the instructions of Gideon, who says to them, do what I do when I do it. And in unison, they smash their jars, and they blow their trumpet, and they shine their light. And there's this one little important sentence in the text. And every man stood in his own place. Everyone stood in his own place. Do you realize the importance of that? The 300 torches encircling the camp gave the impression of complete encirclement. But what if a few people had not stood in their place? The great host down below would have looked up and seen a few gaps in the line, and they would have run through it and realized just how thin their opposition was. No, God's stratagem worked because everyone stood in his own place and shone their light. Everyone mattered. One of the lessons that we can learn from Gideon is that there is a great danger infecting the community of God. It's the danger of false humility. False humility. The idea of thinking, I'm just one soldier. What does it matter if I stand in my place? I'm just one person. My resources are not that big. What does it matter if I give my tithe? My talents are pretty meager. What does it matter if I offer to volunteer? What does it matter if I join the church? I'm just one person. How can I make a difference? False humility can destroy a community of God, can destroy a stratagem of God. If just a few people out of that 300 said, I don't really matter, and they hadn't stood in their place, the line would have been broken. No matter how meager your talent, it matters. No matter how small your tithe, it matters. No matter how limited what time and talent you can give, it matters. Your commitment to this fellowship matters and helps define the overall strength of the community of God. False humility can destroy us. Everyone has to stand in their own place and shine their light. What would have happened to Gideon's little band if they hadn't have blown their trumpets in unison and smashed their jars in unison? What if some had blown trumpets and some had smashed jars simultaneously? They would have sounded like a discordant little band. All too often, the families of faith sound like discordant little bands. I'm sure in that 300 people there were diverse personalities, and some probably loved smashing jars but hated blowing trumpets. And some loved blowing trumpets and hated smashing jars. The reason the stratagem worked is that everyone put aside their individual proclivities and preferences and did everything together. Too often, the community of faith can be a discordant little band when it really requires everyone to put individual preferences aside and join together for the good of the whole. Gideon's men stood in their place. They shone their light. They smashed their jars. They blew their trumpets. And they shouted for the Lord and for Gideon. And the host down below looks up and sees the circle of light and this euphony of noise. And they think those 300 people are 300,000, and they began killing each other in their efforts to escape. And as they break free into the land, the whole nation of the Hebrews fall upon them because the whole group of people had gathered confidence and strength from the courage and the commitment of that 300. And the land was freed of the Midianites. Why am I drawn to this passage time and again? Because we live in a spiritually dispirited age. Do you want to know the fastest growing religious denomination in America today? None. Not nuns. None. No religious affiliation whatsoever. That's the fastest growing religious denomination. The interesting thing is when they survey these people, 70% of them say they're not agnostics or not atheists. They're just not involved in a spiritual community. In a word, they're apathetic. We cannot allow the apathy of a disinterested world to infect the spirit of the church. Every one of us is important. Every contribution matters. Every gift of time and talent makes a difference. We know we need more resources. We know we need to grow our fellowship. We know we're in a time of transition when many of our older saints are aging out of participation and we must replace them with a new generation of leaders. But it must begin with the people we have gathered here, committing with enthusiasm, committing with courage and sacrificial investment in the health of the body. Every one of us matters. This fellowship can't just be one priority among many. It has to be the priority in our lives. Just as God can't be one commitment among any, it has to be the commitment of our lives. But when every one of us understands our responsibility, when every one of us uses confidence in God's weapons, when every one of us blows our trumpet and smashes our jar together and stands in our place and shouts for the Lord and for Vineville Baptist, we can make a difference. And we commit to each other and to our God together. We can bring liberation and transformation to our world. May we learn from the lessons of Gideon. Let us pray together. Lord, you indeed teach us through the faithful people of old, but you remind us they're just as flawed, just as fearful, just as diffident as we are. But when we are open to your Spirit, you can do great things through us. May we appropriate that and embody it in our lives through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.